father did best. He can't help it because it's epigenetic. He's forced to live out his destiny as the child of a serial killer. So he's doing the same thing as dad did. Now the daughter is a somewhat mentally handicapped janitor in a factory where she's being sexually abused on a daily basis.
Right.
And she's trying to cope with both her own trauma and also what's happening to her in the workplace. And it just becomes between the relationship between the brother and sister and the victims and the people that pass into their lives, it just becomes an extremely horrifying and interesting psychic dimension that I don't see explored in many films, especially in horror.
I mean, there's a lot of sort of like, it's not just murders. There's sort of torturing them and sort of playing with them like as pets and stuff like that. And it's
This is how they relate to people because of their how they were brought into this world.
Well, I think it's obviously talking about this sort of cycle of violence is passed down from generation to generation and stuff like that. And there's this third generation on the way or something like that. And part of this movie, so maybe that's part of it. But also that this is the way that they, not just their father interacted with the world, but the way they understand the world to be.
Yeah.
I mean, the brother seems to be sort of,
he calls it his work.
Yes.
Like, I'm done with my work for today, which essentially was going out, finding women to chop up and leaving them on the side of the road. That was his work.
It's a family business.
It's, she has one foot in the real world with her day job, and then the other foot in this fantasy, this insulated, make-believe nightmare world that she emerged from. So she's dealing with all these various environments, and she's mentally handicapped as well. So it makes for an interesting dynamic.
A lot of tension. I mean, you were right about the sort of the way that it's filmed. It's not black and white, but there's sort of like, it's all sort of gray and dark.
Grim. And just the art direction alone, the house that they're living in is like this, it's a micro universe of chaos and decay that I guess, you know, one director that comes to mind is David Lynch. It sort of had that definitely sort of a nod to that aspect. But I just think it was a remarkable, you know, in the sea of content, the endless ocean of indie horror that's out there, that, you know, much of it is bad, some of it is good. You have to wade through all the crapola to find the good stuff. This is just truly unique. It's not like anything I've ever seen in horror. I very understated. And
this is Kareem Alouja, OUELAHAJ. I don't know.
Is that the director?
This is the director who made another one called The Frozen Eye, which I don't know when that was released or if it was released in the United States. And Megla, I can post a link to where you can find a megalomaniac online to watch. Oh, I can't post that?
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, is that going to get somebody in trouble? It's going to get me in trouble, most of all.
Well, I wouldn't do
that. I guess Frozen Eye is only 26 minutes, so, you know. Yeah, I thought very gripping, but I didn't end up seeing the whole thing. Is there some ambiguity at the end, Micah? Was there?
Yes, yeah.
So, like, that's always something to look forward to, I would think. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and in Rockland County. We're at 91.9 FM, and all over the world you can hear us online at WFMU.org. It's been Jim and Micah. Micah's faintly disgusted with me at the moment, I think. It's hard to tell, actually. It's difficult to tell at any point when that's the truth. We filled in for Bucci. Bucci will be back next week, or Mrs. Bucci, or someone else. I'm sure Bucci will be fine. I think he just has Nick's-itis or something like that. My program is on very late on Saturday night into Sunday, 3 a.m. So if you're interested in hearing, this week I played a very interesting show, which was there was a sound artist who had ordered recording devices from China, and one of them somehow was tripped in process. So if you want to hear 3 hours of a field recording of a box being shipped from China to Switzerland, I would urge you to go back in the archives and check out that program. I don't know when this program will be back on. Thank you for everyone for all your comments, your outrage and concern, your displeasure. All of those are faintly appreciated by me and Micah. Micah's show is coming up next at the top of the hour. And thank you again. We'll see you soon, possibly on the radio. We'll be right back.
stop staying by my mind. I can't stand the things they do to me. I've been dating for a long time. I wanna go home. Oh, I wanna go home. And I'd be so mad. Take us home. Stay away.
Good evening, Starseed. This is the Music of Mind Control. My name is Micah, here with you every week, 7 p.m. Eastern, where we take a little journey into the world of new religious movements, cults, individuals of a mystical or inspired nature, and the sounds that come out of them. We did just hear Prince Gideon from 1982. Prince Gideon and the Nation of Yahweh, I Want to Go Home. Prince Gideon, blanking out on his real name, formerly one half of the R&B duo Cornelius and Sister Rose, who in the 1980s was converted to an Afrocentric hate cult known as the Nation of Yahweh that was run by Yahweh Ben Yahweh, who was a hell-bent on bringing African-Americans to not to Africa, but back to their promised land of Israel. Because, of course, they are the lost tribe. Hewlin Mitchell, a.k.a. Yahweh Ben Yahweh, eventually ended up in prison in Miami, where they were based, after it was discovered that he was chopping the heads off of white people. Although he was acquitted of first-degree murder charges in 1992, he was released on parole in 2001, and then he died. So I'm not exactly clear on the litigation aspect. But the cult does still exist. It's sort of like a gentler, kinder version. No decapitations. Just boring YouTube videos. We're going to hear some modern old-time gospel from Ernest Angley Ministries now. Ernest Angley was a televangelist. I think he's gone, but the his movement is still going on. Ernest Angley did proclaim during his time that Jesus could cure AIDS. I guess that was in the 1990s. Apparently he had claimed to have verifiable medical documentation from former AIDS patients that Jesus healed them. And then it turned out that he was not paying his staff. He ran a restaurant. Nobody was getting paid, but people were getting killed in there. So whatever was missing in the paycheck was being made up with bullets to the head. However, like I said, his ministry is still going strong, and they have a very spirited gospel section. They have a group known as the Hallelujahs, and I'm quite taken by them. I'm going to play a little set of their music now. I'll be right back.
Jesus walked the water and he raised the dead.
Oh, he healed the leper, multiplied the fish and bread.
Raised the crippled man out of the bed.
That's what the Bible says.
the Bible says.
Oh, just leave it empty.
That's what the Bible says.
Bible says.
That's what the Bible says.
The Bible says.
When you read
the word
of the Lord,
yes,
that's what the Bible says.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
He will never change.
No, not ever.
He's the bread of life. He dispels all strife.
That's what the Bible says.
I'll be telling you.
That's what the Bible says.
You better believe that.
That's what the Bible says. When you
read the word
of the Lord,
that's what the Bible says.
Oh, just read it and believe.
That's what the Bible says.
That's what the word says.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
When you read
the word
of the Lord,
that's
yes,
right.
That's what the Bible.
That's what the Bible says.
That's what the Bible says.
Receive a miracle.
That's what the Bible says.
Jesus is the healer.
When you
read the word
of the Lord,
that's what the Bible says.
Oh, just read it and believe.
That's what the Bible says.
Your
Bible says.
That's what the Bible says.
I'm telling
when you.
When you
read the
word
of the Lord,
yes,
that's what the Bible says.
To him,
he will make you new, give you strength within.
That's what the Bible says.
That's what the Bible says.
Oh, yeah.
That's what the Bible says. When you
read the word
of the Lord,
that's what the Bible says.
That's what the Bible says.
It'll help you.
That's what the Bible
it'll
says.
It'll change your life.
Jesus in the sky.
And when we reach that heavenly shore,
we'll praise God.
you will be able to say,
God's in control, and that's all you need to know. Oh, yes, God's in control, and that's all you need to know. When the battle's been hot, his blood is hot.
You have the victory no matter how you fought. Yes, God,
he's in control.
That's
all you need to know. God's in control,
God's in
and that's
control.
All you need.
Oh, yeah. Praise God. The hallelujahs. How can you hate that? It's just so brilliant. I mean, that whole barbershop thing they got going, with the old timey gospel and those breaks, it's just masterful. The Hallelujahs from the Ernest Angley Ministries. Some old time religion. Okay. And if you thought that was bad, oh boy. Uzmalos was one of the first post-Soviet religious cults to emerge, to rise like a phoenix from the ashes of Soviet communism that fell in the early 1990s, headed by Maria Devi Christos, who essentially proclaimed herself to be the living embodiment of God. And, you know, the time was ripe after communism. All of a sudden, it was legal and warranted to start your own cult in Russia. Took a cue from Madame Blavatsky and called themselves the Great White Brotherhood, which spread throughout Ukraine, Belarus, as well as Russia. And then all of a sudden, she got all of her followers to gather at the Saint Sophia Church, where they were all going to commit mass suicide until the authorities showed up and put an end to that and put Maria in prison for a while. She came out of prison, and now she just goes by her birth name, Victoria, I can't pronounce it. But has a very interesting website. She is, I think she still believes she is God, but she puts up all her prophecies and visions online now. She's not allowed to have a real following these days, but she keeps herself busy. She, on her website, she also makes low budget lounge disco, all with a spiritual theme. New Age spiritual themes. So I want to play something off of a release from 2001, Monos Asterion Monastery. I think this might have been one of the first things she did out of prison. And I'll be right back.
Вокруг ма Новой духовной земли.
Low Rent, New Age, Lounge Disco from Maria Devi Christos. Released from prison and doing culty stuff on the internet, including releasing all these bizarre, awful records. Want to go back to this strange release from 1969 by Synanon, The Sounds of Synanon. The Prince of Peace, a rock jazz cantata. This is before they moved to Marin County, when they were still just on the beach, on Venice Beach, I think, in a building where they were doing their own rarefied version of drug rehabilitation, which included being isolated in a room. And essentially dressed down psychologically and verbally abused for hours at end by colleagues, other inmates at Synanon, until you become a quivering mess of nerves dependent on the program for life. That was the genius behind Chuck Dieterich's design of the Synanon program. Chuck Dieterich, the leader of Synanon, which ultimately became the Church of Synanon and became the rattlesnake in the mailbox cult that we all know and love. But before that, they were sort of a hot news item and often cited because there were so many great jazz musicians that ended up in Synanon. All of them were hooked on smack, and they knew that Synanon was a great way to get off the junk. So they all ended up there, and they started playing together. They started the Sounds of Synanon, or the Synanon Choir, and they recorded two albums. This is the second one, Prince of Peace. I think this record was produced in conjunction with a television special about Synanon, so they wanted to capitalize on that with this record that was pressed on Epic. It was a major label release. Probably the first major label cult record of its kind. So we're going to hear a little bit this extremely bizarre cantata from the Sounds of Synanon and the Synanon Choir. I'll be right back.
Thank you.
Sounds of Synanon, 1969, from their epic, in more ways than one, epic labeled record, The Prince of Peace. We heard Shepherds and Quiet Sky. Jazz musician Lamont Johnson got into Scientology way back in the 1960s. Until he was expelled in 1981. Not exactly sure why, but what ended up happening was he started his own Dianetics offshoot branch called the Church of Spiritual Enlightenment. Yeah, the Church of Spiritual Enlightenment in Fullerton, California, in the 1980s. Got into a heap of trouble. Was labeled a suppressive person by the advanced OTs. And was forced to cease and desist. But recorded a Scientology-themed record in 1976 called Nine, A Mystical Musical Allegory. So there are, this is an instrumental, soul jazz funk record, with mentions of, and dedications to L. Ron Hubbard on the liner notes. So, there's a lot of the engrams in the music. We're going to hear a lengthy track called Alchemy. So that's going to take us through to the end of the hour. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM, online at WFMU.org. Here is the Dianetics infused soul jazz of Lamont Johnson. I'll be on. That's it. See ya. Thank you.
Thank you. rejoice among the stars. Let me hear the yodels, conicos, and kagiras. In other words, bleed my ears. In other words, caterjack me, jack. Oh, overtones and whistles, holler shanties and galas. Harmonies from tenores and hocketing barcas. In other words, auctioneers. In other words, Shuby Taylor. Fry me vocal fry, play me some Dada from Yacht Blanc. Field recordings, interviews, and growls from Dave Van Ronk. In other words, purple haze. In other words, Ema Sumac. Jack, Wally Cox's Efing, and that Okinawan bounce. Track and album titles that you just cannot pronounce. In other words, in other words, vocal fry.
Whoa! They say the bigger the headache, the bigger the pill, baby. Call me the big pill. Dr. Funkenstein, the disco fiend with the monster sound, the cool goo with the bum transplant.
Hip bone connected to my thigh bone connected to my leg bone connected to my ankle bone.
I get so hung up on bones. Dr. Funkenstein here,
preoccupied and dedicated to the preservation of the motion of hips.
We love you. You Funkenstein, your funk is the best.
Talk.
Take my body, give it to mine, so long with the rest.
Kiss me on my ego.
Hit me with the one and then, if you like, hit me again. We love to Funkenstein.
Dr. Funkenstein, king of the funk, yeah.
Swift lippin', ego trippin', and body snatch.
Don't blow your mind.
Coming to you directly from the mothership. Pulling up the last leg of the feet funk. Don't funk with your mind.
We love to funk, you Funkenstein. Your funk is the best.
Let me hear it for me.
Take my body, give it to mine. To funk with the rest. Hit me with the one and then, if you like, hit me again.
Well,
we
right.
Love to Funkenstein.
Funk me to death.
Speaking when I start churning, burning and turning.
It'll make your atoms move so fast, expanding your molecules, causing a friction fire, burning you on your neutron, causing you to scream, hit me in the proton. Baby.
I hope y'all got your sunglasses on out there.
Ho!
kiss me on my ego.
Kiss me with no one in me.
Right.